Welcome to Rhea Radio, episode 113 with Sarah Weaver.
Redux.
You know what that means?
Are we referring to what the conversation was in the kitchen?
Whoa.
No?
I know he would have gone there. I know he would have gone there. I just know it.
I just got it. I didn't know what you were doing. Oh, my God.
I have an abundance mindset, but not with everything.
Redux, like, it's a refresh on something, like an old movie. Like, okay. Apocalypse Now, Redux.
Part two.
Yeah, yeah. What's old is new again?
Mm-hmm. Episode deuce.
Okay.
You're listening to Rhea Radio, the nationally trusted name in real estate investing. We dig deep to discover investors' why in real estate. If you want to skip all the BS and get in investors' heads, you're in the right spot. Be one of the thousands to check out RhearadioRadio.com.
Have we had a part two yet of a repeat guest?
Megan Ahern's kind of been on, but not like, you know, she's been on with other people. But Sarah's the first person that's had her own interview twice.
Yeah, how has Rhea Radio changed your life? That's what we're for.
We're like, hey, yeah. You made big announcements last time. Made big announcements this time.
Yeah, yeah.
She's always fun to get on, though, and I, you know, since it was the first time that we were interviewing somebody, you know, for a full interview again, I was like, what are we going to talk about? Because we just haven't gone down that road. I'm like, are we going to, like, not have things to cover? Nope, not the problem at all. It's going in, like, 2 hours again. We're like, how did this happen?
What I really love about her is you can ask her literally almost anything. And she just starts talking, and by the time she's done talking, you have a fully formed answer to your question, or just like a topic placeholder. She's like an encyclopedia of the stuff that she is in business about, you know, like short-term, midterm rentals, just operating a business remotely, you know, being an owner operator of a real estate business. Like, she knows it. Like, cold. Like, you ever ask somebody like a question, like just about something they should be knowledgeable about? And if you see somebody take like a really long time, or they think about it, or they speak and they're not really certain about what they're talking about, then it's kind of like, okay, are you an authority on this? And like, you don't get that at all with her. With somebody like her, her certainty. And that's why she has such a following that she does, and so many people that love her content and the way that she approaches, you know, putting knowledge out there to the world. Because let's face it, I mean, she's a published author. You don't do that to become rich. You do that to share your knowledge, become an authority figure. And she has certainly done that and capitalized on it with, you know, all of her masterminds and retreats and, you know, travel the world with Sarah type adventures that she's just been able to put out there. So I'm just amazed. I'm continuously in awe of her and her growth. And what's fun about, you know, situations like this is, you know, when you're like, when you've been doing this for a long time, like I have, or like we have, you get to a point where you've kind of been there, done that on a lot of stuff. And what I'm excited about with Sarah is just that she is still so young, but she's done so much already. And when she gets to be like my age, I mean, can you imagine how much stuff she's going to know? Well, she may have Alzheimer's by that time, but and forget a lot of it like me.
He's giving himself his own old jokes. We don't even need to cue him up anymore.
I can see your face. I could see your face chomping at the bit, waiting to make fun of me. So I figured I'd head that off.
I didn't have to, man. I didn't have to come up with it. You mentioned about being the authority on a topic. And I remember, like, there was a whenever, like, something gets brought up and I give an answer to it, it racks my brain to make sure that I gave the right answer. And there was a specific question that you asked me in a previous episode. I was like, you know, if you sell 15 million in real estate, you know, what number is that? And you know, and that bothered the heck of me because I gave an answer because I was just on the fly, but I knew the answer. And, you know, $15 million in real estate should be about, you know, $390,000, $400,000 in commission. And I think in that interview, I was like, 100 and some thousand. Because there's, you know, sometimes you just go quick on it. And I remember that bothering the heck out of me, because you know you're held accountable for what you say. It's all recorded, right? So there's my radio edit into that previous podcast, but you know, it's those things that kind of, you know, you are the authority figure, and Sarah's the authority figure when it comes to midterm stays and in her traveling, her ways of traveling and what she does. So I totally get it. And I love how fast that she's coming up with everything too.
Yeah, me too. All right. Since we have an authority figure on short-term and midterm rentals on the podcast today, I thought I would share today's
golden nuggets.
Why are you in slow motion?
You are in slow motion when you say it on my end.
This week's Golden Nugget is brought to you by JM Real Estate Capital.
Hi, it's Rob, JM Real Estate Capital. We're the money guys that you need to know for all your real estate investments. Talk to us. We can do what your local bank can't or won't do. 844-WE-CLOSE or go online, jmrecapital.com. That's jmrecapital.com. JM Real Estate Capital, smart solutions for the real estate investor.
Today's Golden Nugget, I want to share with you one of the most boneheaded things I have done so far in 2024 that has cost me thousands and thousands of dollars.
That's pretty good.
I think you know it already. I'm pretty sure I shared this with you last week at what a total facepalm moment I've had with this. I still can't believe it. I'm such an idiot. So for those that don't know, I have not had a great start to the year. I've had a bunch of just disasters and property issues and frozen pipes and just all kinds of stuff. And it's occupied a lot of my like mental space. And I'm sharing a situation that happened to me with I only have one short-term rental in Omaha where I live. And then I have another one in Branson, Missouri. This one that I'm about to talk about is in Omaha. So it's in my backyard here. It's like 10 minutes from my house. So I've had this thing online and active for about 10 months-ish, and this is the winter time in Nebraska. So I know from, you know, listening to Ted Bitch about it and multiple other people that you typically don't get a ton of travel to Omaha during the winter time, and it's a little slower, right? So a lot of people...
Usually just weekends. Yeah.
So, okay. So what happened was in December, I had a guy stay for a month, right? So he rents the apartment for a month, has got like a kid that's at the med center getting some treatment of some type or whatever. So I think he ended his stay right around like, I don't know, right before Christmas, maybe like December 20th, something like that. And I'm like, okay, whatever. I've got a whole bunch of stuff going on. That's fine. So during the same time, I found out that VRBO or Vrbo as a platform is kind of a pain in the ass to deal with compared to Airbnb, at least from my experience. There's no way for you to basically get ratings on guests, and it's just a little more clunky. And I wasn't getting really much in the way of bookings off of it. So I decided to just quit using it for a while and just go with Airbnb as the only, only hosting platform. Okay. So I do this in December and I'm like, all right, I'm just done with Vrbo for a while. I'm just going to turn it off, whatever. So a while goes by and I have all these bad things happening or whatever. And I'm like, you know, every once in a while, I'd be like, you know, it's kind of weird. I haven't had any bookings or like any requests or anything on Airbnb. And Ted's just shaking his head. So what I think I did was I think I went into my Vrbo account and deactivated it or hit pause, right? I think that's what happened. What actually happened was the calendars are synced with Airbnb and Vrbo and other, you know, hosting platforms. And what I did was I basically paused the whole thing. So it was not getting advertised anywhere. And I don't realize this until like last week. So I log into my accounts and I look at it and I'm like, oh my God, what is going on? Like, and I'm like, why isn't this working? And I go through and I'm clicking away and looking and trying to figure out like, what did I did wrong? And finally I go into my Airbnb account and there's just a button that just says disconnect calendars. Like it's that easy, folks. And so I was going through and I'm like, oh my God, these are all blocked off. Like everything is blocked off. And I go in through and I'm individually like unblocking these dates, right? I'm unblocking a block of them at a time. And then I save it and I think it worked and it didn't. So that's when I go back in and I figure this out. And I'm like, so here's a pro tip for you. Today's gold nugget. If you are only going to use one platform like an Airbnb, make damn sure that you have your calendars disconnected from each other so that if you pull one, it's not costing you a bunch of money on the other one. So I turned this back on like on Friday, right? I turned my Airbnb site on back on Friday. I have like 3 bookings within like 2 hours. Mm-hmm. And these are in like May and April. And like, so all these requests start coming in. I'm like, I'm so dumb. Like it's just kills me. Like I should know better than this by now. Even if I don't know Airbnbs all that well, I should have reached out and figured this out before now. I probably cost myself like $5,000. You know, no big deal.
I think you're light on that. I think you might have lost $5,000 in bookings in the back, but your future bookings, you might have been way more than that.
Yeah, yeah. So today's gold nugget, don't be an Owen. Make sure your calendars are disconnected if you are only going to be using one of them or whatever. You get the point.
Well, you did make the joke about Sarah getting Alzheimer's when she reaches your age, and they just proved it, you know?
Hey, life imitating art, right? That's what...
We are related. So in a future episode here, we interviewed Mark Simpson from Boostly, and I signed up for the Boostly program. So I got a custom Boostly site in works, and super excited to try that self-booking site, but also it has everything built into it.
Yeah, that's going to be a great episode when that thing gets released. Mark Simpson coming up here in, I think, 2 or 3 episodes, where he's got direct booking platform called Boostly, and we interview him. Fun fact, the first overseas guest that we've had on while they've been overseas. We've had some Canadians in the house virtually, but this is the first UK interview. So we did that one at like, I don't know, like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, just to make the time. Which actually works a little better for fashion consumption. So it was a win-win.
People don't look at us the same either when compared to the 9 o'clock in the morning old fashioned. Right? We got some great podcasts coming up. So listeners, stay tuned. I think we have Alex Camacho. Has he been released yet?
Oh yeah, he's
no. So he's next. We have David Dudge. After, but David Dudge before him. David Dudge is 114. Alex's is 115, and then Boostly is 116.
Yeah, so you got some great content coming up, people.
Yep. All right. Without further delay, let's get into this bad boy here with the world famous Sarah
Bewa Weba.
that's been in my head the way you say that every time. So,
Sarah, last time you were in this room, which it was actually the room next door.
You've upgraded.
Yes, we've upgraded. And it was May 22. And that was episode 39. And I don't know if you know this, but you were the first name that we brought in that was not a local person. Oh. So you started it. So after you were on, then when we started reaching out to other people, we're like, we've had Sarah Weaver on.
That was our
Cool Kids Club.
Yeah.
and you started the tradition of announcing things like, at the time you announced the book that you had coming out, which was 30 Day Stay.
I think we actually announced it. I didn't want us to.
I did. I announced it. No. and then the funny part about that was you were like calling back. You're like, hey, we got to take this out because Bigger Pockets is not going to want this out there. And we're like, they would definitely be listening to this podcast, especially in episode 39.
Oh, so. Yeah. I'm sure they're tuning in to all of these.
So my question is, how has your life changed since that time when the book released? It was a few months after that.
Yeah, the book came out November 2022.
So how has your life changed since that's happened?
Year and a half, almost, or a little bit more than that.
Because
yeah.
From the outside looking in, it looks like it's completely blown your world up.
Yeah, it's funny. Like my day-to-day feels the same. Like I'm still, you know, throwing furniture in the back of the Prius and putting together nightstands from time to time. And so my day-to-day looks the same. And then I go places like conferences, and that's when I realize, oh, my life has changed a lot.
Because you got circles surrounding you.
Well, it's really fun because now, I mean, the first Bigger Pockets, so Bigger Pockets 2022, that's when the book was available for pre-sale.
We saw you there.
You did. We did. Yeah. And that was, I think, when I started to feel like, oh, this is going to be pretty big. But the funny thing about real estate is like, it's like niche famous. And so again, my day-to-day, I'm the same, still like struggling with the same things. But then I go to a conference like this and people are like, oh my gosh, like it's so nice to meet you. I follow you on Instagram, or even like mentioning the Prius. I had someone come up to me and they're like, I drive a Prius. And I was like, good for you, Julie. I'm like, what? And then I'm like, oh, people know that I drive. Okay, got it. And so then I, you know, and so that kind of stuff. And then.
Do you think they bought it just because you owned it? Like, should you get like.
Should Toyota. I should be an sponsored. Instagram influencer for Toyota. My life hasn't changed that much, guys. So I think that. But then this last Bigger Pockets conference was just pretty amazing. I don't want to say life-changing, but it was where I was really feeling like the effect. For example, there was an author signing session, and of course Pace Morby's line is like around the entire conference hotel.
And Dave Green.
and I'm sitting there, you know, signing books, and a woman comes up to me, and she just kind of very calm, not a super emotional or like energetic person. And she's just like, hey, like I read your book. I bought my first property. It just like really changed my life. And then she got emotional and started like tearing up, talking about how she like came from like being broke to now having all of her expenses paid for. And I just was incredibly moved. Because it's moments like that, that it's like, oh yeah, like the work that I'm doing does matter. Mm-hmm. And that's not going to happen all the time. I mean, some people have read the book and criticized it, or some people read the book and it's like, oh, yep, another real estate book. But for people like her, it really does make a difference.
You see all these, you know, lives that you're impacting when you're there, but when you're not there, you really, I mean, you probably feel like you're just kind of doing it for yourself. I'm just trying to make ends meet. But, you know, there's that emotional part because I'm an Aries, so I have emotion, according to you. So I have a deep heart, Owen, so don't hurt my heart.
He's a feeler.
And
I will take you down. I'm a Scorpio.
Yeah, we figured that out.
Represent.
But, I mean, that's where the impact changes, and that's probably where everything that you do, I mean, that's going to be a pivot point.
I think that's why I share. So the one criticism that sometimes you get is that people are like, oh, another influencer. and I'll take it. I think it's funny. It doesn't hurt my feelings by any means. But it's funny because, I mean, I had 1,000 followers not that long ago. Like, I really am just a girl from Kansas just buying real estate. And the difference is that I decided to share it and like put my life out there. And I share it because I think that people who don't have, you know, high paying jobs or a significant other or things that people might assume makes, you know, finances a lot easier, people like me can become financially free through real estate. And that's why I share what I'm doing. Plus the travel looks kind of cool.
Hey, I just hit 901 followers today. So
let's get you to 1,000, guys. Yeah,
so close.
All right. Our mission for the next month is to get Ted to 1,000 followers. Oh, let's make it happen.
They don't get much content out of
Kosh,
my, it's pictures of my family and cars and whatnot.
I've been totally slacking on. I've just been basically doing funny memes and GIFs for the last.
Yours are pretty boring because you just walk your dog every day.
You know what? I either get people that say that or they're like, they don't understand, or they're like, oh, so, you know, like make fun of me about it. And then other people are like, oh, I love your dog videos. What's he doing today?
Probably kicking.
Like, it's so weird.
Probably
man.
Kicking it.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah. So I don't know. It's kind of my thing. It's a default thing.
You should do videos like more. So I love Liz Faircloth, who I'm sure you guys know. She owns Investor and runs Investor. She does these like talking to the camera videos while she's out on a walk. And then another person is Diego Corzo, does a tip of the day. And they're always when they're out walking. And I'll honestly see the video. Sometimes I have it on mute, but I'm looking at it and I'm like, man, I need to go on a walk. And so if nothing else, they've gotten my butt moving. And
yeah, it's funny. A friend of mine, Jamie, she was like, that man, I see you're out walking and it's almost dark out or whatever. So she's like, that helps me get motivated for it. But isn't it funny the effect that you have when you don't realize it on just random people that happen to catch your content?
Well, I like the ones that you posted where like the crap houses, things you found, you know?
Yeah, I need to do more of that.
That's the stuff that I really enjoyed seeing the years. This walking the dog thing. I mean, I really just kind of like skip through it as fast as my thumb is punching. Well,
you already said you hate dogs, so... There's that.
You said you kick dogs, so there's that.
No, I said, okay. I think the record will prove itself here.
Yes, it will.
Make it happen.
But I love what you're saying, though, because I think that the difference between my life today and my life when I was first on the podcast is just now there's been so many reps of me sharing different things. And just like this example of they encouraged me to walk, even though their tip of the day might be something completely unrelated. So you're affecting people in ways that you just never thought you would. And so, for example, a woman came up to me in a conference and she just said, hey, like, I'm single, never been married. And like, I just love that you're crushing it. You really encouraged me to like write more offers. And I bought a rental property because I kept using it as like a limiting belief, like, oh, like all my friends have, you know, wealthy partners or they're double income households. Mm-hmm. And here you are talking about doing it on your own. And I laugh because I said, you know that the only reason I mention that I'm single all the time is because I'm hoping that like my future boyfriend's in the audience. And I realized that inspiring people can come in so many different ways.
Yeah. You know, I didn't think about that. I mean, that thought's never crossed my mind. I know that you definitely promote, you know, the way that you live, but it never has crossed my mind how much more difficult it is being single versus having the partner and doing it. I mean, common sense.
I think it's just different. So the easy part is that you never have to convince someone of something. So like, let's say that you're a couple and one of you gets on the financial independence train first or the real estate investing, and then you have to like, you know, educate or convince your partner. So I can last minute, you know, buy a crappy duplex in middle of America without consulting with anyone. So that part is easier. But it would be really nice. I mean, double income, that would be very nice.
You know, the one cool thing is that, you know, the fact that you're 29 now and you can actually decide what partner you really want that fits your lifestyle. Because otherwise, if you were to pick somebody when you're 2021, they probably would lock you down in whatever town you were in at the time, right? Or wherever the family is.
Or also just the mindset that I was in. And guys, we got to clear the record. I'm going to be 34 in 2 weeks. So
I would have guessed at least 29.
29 sounds younger. Great, but no, it's just Botox. Exactly. Like I think back and thankfully I have a good track record. I heard a podcaster say I have a good picker, I like is what she said. So I've picked good, you know, partners in my life. And so like they would have all been fine life partners. But the person that I am today is so different than the person that I was 5 years ago.
But now you can find somebody who has the same passions in traveling, the same beliefs in real estate investing, and whatever other beliefs that you have. I mean, but you can really kind of hone it in. I didn't get married until I was 30. And so I was in the same boat with you. And actually, it was a little later than that. It was like 32 probably. But regardless, I waited. And I didn't have kids until I was like 33, 34. But I was able to kind of find somebody that really molded around who I was at that time versus if I got married when I was 20, I'd be divorced. And I'd probably be single right now.
or just resent. Like for me, I'm so grateful that I can travel anywhere in the world. And so if I had a partner who couldn't work remote, unfortunately, there'd probably be a little bit of resentment there because I'd be stuck. Not stuck. That's not the right word. But I would be in one place.
You would feel stuck.
I'd feel a little stuck.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a proper word to use.
But I think if you like someone enough, I mean, that is not the emotion that you feel.
So the big question is, though, since that last podcast, when you found out that you and Owen were kind of related, like, how has that changed your life?
Well, knowing that I have an uncle in real estate. Yeah, for our listeners, the first episode.
Which is so funny.
We found out that Owen, your wife, yep, is from the same small town as my dad. And I think one of us made the joke, oh, we're probably related. But it wasn't until you went home.
I think I made that joke.
And let the audience know what happened off air. Oh, I wish this had happened on air, but go ahead.
Oh, it would have been hilarious. Yeah, so I go home and I was like, hey, and I was like, we had Sarah Weaver on the podcast today, and she mentioned she's from, it was Avoca, right?
Oakland.
So, it was actually Oakland. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, because on the episode, if you tune into this, it was episode 39, but I was like, she's like, oh, it's a small town in Iowa. You probably never heard of it. And I'm like, try me, because I'm from a small town. And she's like, Oakland, Iowa. I'm like, my wife's from Oakland, Iowa. And it was just one of those things. And then it turns out your uncle was married to my sister-in-law.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's how all that worked.
And then you guys had the unfortunate thing that somebody passed in your guys' family.
Yeah.
And then you guys ran each other at the funeral, which is even.
Well, I didn't go, but Jen, my wife did. Okay. And Courtney and.
So did you meet Jen?
Yeah. So I met Owen's wife and what would be my uncle's ex-wife.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, it's really funny. So now we've been at a few conferences together and I can scream in the hallway, Uncle Owen. And it was funny. The person next to me was like, I didn't know your uncle was in real estate. I said, neither did I.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's such a small world, isn't it?
You've met Jen as many times as I have. So yeah, congrats.
She doesn't go to the real estate thing that I go to.
He's such an Aries.
I know, right? Passive aggressive much, Ted.
Jeez. Just my feelings got hurt, I guess. You know.
Yeah, I mean, Demlis has been over to our house for dinner, but anyway.
I've been to your house a couple times, but it's just to drop off gifts.
That's true. And to take me home after.
The gifts aren't good enough. You're not getting invited.
Not getting in. Nobody gets the door. I always had to leave them
at the
front
door. Thanks for the underwear, Ted.
Give better gifts.
In your Rhea hat.
Yeah, that was nice.
Yeah, that was another time.
And my wallet.
Carson, my son's like a huge Owen fan. So we were going somewhere and we're going to the airport to pick up mom or something like that. And he's like, doesn't Owen live over here by the airport? Can we go stop by? And so we dropped off a hat, and he was super eager to hope that Owen was home.
That's so cute.
He wasn't.
Yeah. Sorry, Carson.
So you mentioned Liz Faircloth.
Yeah.
Matt Faircloth, we had on the podcast, one of my favorite podcasts that we ever did, and super nice guy.
The best.
Yeah. And then Liz's business partner, I mentioned this a handful of times, but I can never pronounce her name.
Andressa.
And so Andressa and I got talking. We actually did a limbo contest together a couple BPs ago.
I would never compete with a Brazilian.
so my mom's from born in the same town she is.
Really?
Yeah. So we got talking her. But with Liz, how did you guys get hooked up? And then you're pretty involved with Investor because there used to be an investor meetup in town that recently ended. But you spoke at that event, and as far as I know, is the most well-attended investor event that ever happened.
Oh, that's very kind of you.
And so, I mean, their average attendance was like 7 or 8, from my understanding. And then your event, I think, had like 40 or 50 people there.
And I met, you guys, my Omaha best friend at that event. And so for me, Investor is like the gift that keeps
on giving.
Was that
Sadie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi, Sadie.
Sadie overdid us, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, she gives great gifts. So Investor, what I love about that organization is they have local chapters throughout the country that are put on like by local investors. So it's a great place for people to meet. And this isn't something that I experience because I do most of my networking in person. But a lot of female investors feel like men dominate the conversations at like in-person events and conferences. And I think, unfortunately, women just experience imposter syndrome so much more than men. Not to say men don't, but women experience it at such a higher rate. And so sometimes you'll hear an investor say, oh, I'm a new investor. I own a 10-unit building, 5 Airbnbs, and 1 out-of-state STR. And you're like, wait, what? You're not a new investor. So that's the kind of feeling that people are, that female investors sometimes have. And so what I love about the Investor is that it typically is women only. Some people bring their husbands, but it really is a safe place for female investors. And so they have the local chapters and then they also have a like nationwide community. And so for the last, gosh, probably a year and a half, 2 years, I've been one of the mentors teaching a like 6-month kind of semester program within Investor.
So you're like, you have a contract with them and you travel all around the country to all their locations, or how's that work?
Yeah. So the 6-month is all via Zoom. And then just because I'm always traveling, anytime I go to a new city, I'm messaging, hey, do you guys want me to speak at the local Investor chapter? I don't charge them. And so that's just something that I enjoy doing when I go to different towns.
Just way of giving back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you have a very strong woman presence. If you ever have some suggestions that for my local RIA meetup group for speakers, I am completely open to it. Like, because I don't fall into a lot of the traditions. Like, you have to have female, male, black, white, Mexican. I mean, I don't care. If there's a good speaker, there's a good speaker. So I just bring them in. But, you know, but I want more opportunities, because I feel like I don't want to look like we're one-sided. You know what I mean? And I think I've only had two female speakers this whole year. And Dennis, you know it better than me. I think we had one, maybe two African-American speakers this year. And then... Canadian maybe, or
I think it's really interesting, and this is like a very delicate, you know, topic, but from my experience, because I do most of my networking via Zoom, I just never felt intimidated. I also am not an easily intimidated person.
You killed it, our local. Oh, I mean, like,
thank you.
How fun was it when Sarah spoke? I mean, it was like comedy show meets real estate.
Well, we were talking about, like, from when we first met you. And just even in the last year and a half, you just seem so much more comfortable in your own skin. Not that you weren't before, but polished. So, yeah, you've done a really good job on, like, your presence and stage persona and those things. Those are hard to teach. You can only get it with experience.
Feedback was amazing.
Oh, thank you, guys. One of the best compliments I got was, actually, I spoke in Austin, and they said, hey, if you need to start a fourth business, I think you could be a stand-up comic. I said, well,
that adds so much to the event. I mean, when you can add some comedy in there, people are cracking up. I mean, and you put some vulnerable stuff out there. Like,
well, I think that that's what it is. It's like, so many people try to, like, look the best or talk about how many units they have, and
it's not about the unit size.
No, and it's just, life is so hard. I think that people don't talk about that enough. Like, life is really difficult. And so let's have a little bit more fun. Mm-hmm. I'm breezing past that joke.
This is what I have to deal with every week.
If, like, this is a meetup, that would have been some jokes there.
Yeah.
You are the 12-year-old in this group.
I am. Thank you.
Yes.
I'll take it.
Yeah. Personality wise.
No, I'm young.
Yeah. Not by face, no, but
by looks, you mean.
Internal.
But, yeah. Sarah, you are 100% correct, because vulnerability is what brings people closer to you as a person. That's what everybody as humans want to experience. Like, they want people to be vulnerable so that they could be vulnerable, because everybody deep down inside wants to be vulnerable, but they're just scared to be vulnerable.
How many times can you say vulnerable?
Well, let's talk about vulnerability for a second. There is a trend happening in dating where men are, like, abusing vulnerability and pretending to be more vulnerable to, like, impress women. And so, women, be careful.
Does it work?
Yeah,
I guess just ask that. It must work for them.
It wouldn't work on my wife.
No. I mean, I can sniff it. So I'm like, I don't know. I don't want to hear about your therapist on the first date.
Now, when we had a holiday local meetup yesterday, and there was a gentleman named Victor that came up to us, and he's given us, I asked for some feedback on there, and I believe one of the words he used was, I like how vulnerable you guys are on the podcast. So,
okay, Sarah, I know we talked a couple weeks ago at the reluncheon about you seemed like you were kind of itching to buy something. You got some cash burning a hole in your pocket. Tell us about, like, what your what's next for you from the real estate perspective.
This is what I always do.
Like, actually,
slap the wrist.
Actually, let's do this. What's your portfolio look like right now compared to last time we talked?
Yeah. So I have the same unit counts. I have 19 units in 4 states. I now have 10 furnished rentals. I believe when I record this, maybe I had 7 or 8. So now 10 of the units are furnished, and I haven't bought anything, and it has nothing to do with interest rates or the economy. I've been focusing on my cash flowing business and my own life satisfaction. And so, like, the thought of onboarding a property sounded really stressful. And so I've been focusing on my cash flowing businesses. So I think that's probably the biggest difference between my life when I'm on episode 39 versus today, is I've just gone all in on business. And now those cash flowing businesses created cash, and now I'm ready to spend that cash on properties.
What now? You have in the Omaha market. You showed me one of your fourplexes that you have on, or a fourplex that you have on, in the Benson market, which in Omaha is kind of like the, you know, cool hip area, kind of a younger gentrifying area that has cool restaurants and bars and all that fun stuff. And it's like, I know exactly which one it was, because it's bright blue.
Yep.
And but it's a built for purpose fourplex, two story, really cool looking property. Every time I drive by that, I'm like, I wonder who owns that. And it turns out it's you, of course. And then you're trying to basically buy the rest of the block.
I would love to buy the block.
Yeah, because there's similar. How many of them are there? There's three?
Like six, oh, six in that little block. So there's the three there, and then in the backyard, there's another three. And the one next door to mine is completely updated, absolutely stunning. And then the ones in the back could be updated.
Mm. They're classic decorations. Is that how they put it in real estate listings?
I guess. I love the listing descriptions when they're like, it's cozy.
Vintage. Okay,
very small.
You have another group company called, was it Aria?
Yes.
And that's your staging company / design company, right? Okay, so.
Yeah, talk about that. I want to hear tell more. Us about that. I don't
and,
know
and
much
then,
about
that. And then
this.
I have questions for you about okay. that. Okay, so tell us about the company so everybody knows.
Yeah, absolutely. So what Aria does is if you buy a furnished rental or you buy a property and you want it to be furnished and either your design's not your forte or design is your forte and you spend too much money, we can also help you stay on budget. Or you just have, you know, you have a life and you can't hop down to Florida and furnish your new furnished rental in Florida or Ohio or even here in Omaha, then hire us, Aria, A-R-Y-A. We can do the entire design from start to finish. It's completely rent ready and ready to be photographed, and you could list it on Airbnb the next day and it'll be ready to go. So we don't just do the decor. We do all your linens, your cleaner's closet, all your supplies. And we can even write your listing description, automated messages. So it's really good for people in really two camps. It's good for the new investor who's putting into, like, jumping into furnished rentals for the first time. And you guys know, you figure out one thing and then you have another set of 100 questions. And then you get your first booking and you're like, oh my gosh, now I have another 100 questions. So we help you navigate all of that. Or you're an experienced investor and you've put together enough furniture that you're like, I'm never doing that again.
That's me.
We can help you either way. And we do it nationwide.
Okay. So just to give you a shout out, Ziona McIntyre, your co-book author with 30 Day Stay, she sends me leads here and there. And she sent me a lead from California. And we found her a property. And right by the local zoo. Yep. So I think it was A+. I hope it's doing amazing for her. She sends me pictures of this property, and I'm like, holy moly, this thing looks amazing. Like, I mean, when I say amazing, amazing. Like, I want to live there. And then you and I got talking, and you're like, hey, I just did one down by the zoo. And I'm like, we got back and forth. We found out it's the same person. You staged my client's house and designed it.
Yes.
I'm not just, like, fluffing this up for the podcast. You killed it.
Thank you. Well, my team killed it. Yeah. So that's really why I love this company so much. So I happened to be in Omaha because it was around Thanksgiving. I was visiting family and I hadn't even been over to the property yet. Whereas my designer lives in New York City. She had flown out. We have what we call installers. One happens to be in Kansas City. So she drove up from Kansas City and my team handled all of it. And so Aria is that company where I feel like a true CEO. Mm-hmm. I like read the book Who Not How and really live by it with that company in the vein of vulnerability. Mm-hmm. I am not that way in my other businesses. I am very, very involved, you know, still like in the trenches. But with Aria, I've really kind of wear that CEO hat and my team killed it with that property in Omaha. And I think that's the third one we've done in Omaha.
It's amazing.
Thank you.
Hey, so if I have I'm just looking at, like, let's say I have a portfolio of properties and one of them I'm like, you know, I kind of want to turn this into a short-term rental and I don't want to do any of this stuff. Like, I don't want to design it. It's the who, not how thing. I would rather be like, Sarah, I have a 2-bedroom, 1-bath unit. I want to outfit it. Can I just tell you what my budget is and then you make that work? Or are you like, you know, based on what we typically do, this is what you can expect for 10 grand or whatever? How does that work with the money?
Yeah, what's really cool is even from the very beginning, if you have a property in your portfolio, send us the address and we will analyze it for you as an LTR, MTR, and STR. I believe we charge $199 for that.
No kidding. I didn't know you did that.
If you use Omaha RIA and mention this podcast, I'll give you $50 off.
Can we do RIA Radio?
Oh, RIA Radio. and what I love is that we'll tell you what we anticipate that you would be able to get for it. And then also we kind of help you navigate. Okay, sure, you could furnish it. Let's just throw out a number. Let's say you're doing a 1-bedroom and your budget's $5,000. I'm going to tell you, I really would recommend you go a little bit, you really kind of probably need to be at $7,500 to $8,000 for a one bedroom in this market, because here's your competition. And then we actually show you listings of your competition and you'll see, oh yeah, I can't just throw a bed and a nightstand in that room because my competition is beautifully decorated. And so we help you navigate that. So we're not interior designers. That's the first thing everyone should know. We're investors first. And then we're really good at design, and we're really good at design on a budget. And so that house in particular that we're talking about, I believe it's, was it a three bedroom with a flex room?
Yeah, it's a three bedroom flex, that's yes. For sure.
And I believe our budget for furniture for that was $16,000. And it probably, in my opinion, is one of the most beautiful houses we did. Mostly because now I'm using those links to furnish my next rental because I really like that design style. And then that's the other thing. If you guys are on a budget, we sell a furnished list, which doesn't just tell you to buy sheets and spoons. It has the link to the sheets and the spoons that we recommend. And that list is $99 on our website.
Okay. So I want to talk to you further about that. But here's a question I have. So I have six. I have three more coming soon, but I have them as midterms. I do Airbnbs in the summer. Mm-hmm. I transition
the hybrid model.
Yep. So I transition in the August, and then I try to transition back in February, March. It all kind of depends when midterms move out, right? But I'm needing a refresh. Now, I know that most of the stuff I have in there is fine, like the kitchen.
Yep.
But I also bought out a staging company at some point and then gutted out the staging company. And it's all sitting in storage. You know, could you work with somebody like me? If I said, hey, I just want you to come through my units. I have literally two storage units in the basement here just full of decor.
Yep.
Can you come in and just revamp them?
Absolutely. There's two different ways we could do that. We could look at your listing. So I call this a listing audit. I don't believe this is on our website. So you do need to call us and set this up. And so, for example, a client of ours, we furnished his place in Texas, outside of like near Lake Travis. But he also owned a property in Tennessee that he bought furnished, and the furniture was pretty bad. Mm-hmm. And so all I did was I went through each photo of his listing while on like a Zoom screen recording and told him what I would do. And I even said, hey, if you don't want to spend money, just at least move this thing or at least throw that thing away. And then if you are willing to spend money, this is what I would purchase. And then after the Zoom recording, I even went and found the links to what I recommended he purchase. That way he could make a decision how much money he wanted to spend. That was all done remote. For something like what you're explaining, I could actually send in my designer and she could go through all your units. We could do it either via Zoom or in person. And then she could actually physically go to your storage unit and sift through everything. Because I love what you talked about. People are not talking, short-term rental hosts are not talking about the refresh. Mm-hmm. Your units get tired. Not only does stuff have wear and tear, but things just that what was trendy 2 years ago isn't trendy anymore, or a guest's dog ate, you know, a couch.
A cat, somebody let a cat in and then kneaded the side of my couch, and I have all these fabrics popping out. I just noticed. Yeah.
So, well, there's actually a very cool tool for that, like peeling. It was originally, I found it on Amazon for peeling on your Lululemon leggings, but it's this little $12 machine and it can take off some of that. So if it's not terrible, that sounds a little bad, yeah. But if not, buy this thing on Amazon for $12 and you can. But what I was going to say is that as you replace things like a cat eaten couch, your guests then see this photograph, but when they walk in, that's not the couch that's in there. And sure, you're probably replacing
it. They say something, though.
That you're replacing it with a nice couch. But people are so visual, and people want to get what they bought. Mm. And so not only do you need to refresh your units, you need to re-photograph your units. And so I urge everyone to really think about that and budget for it. So that's why I you know, up my CapEx, and I'm really conservative when I'm analyzing my numbers. And I keep a lot of money in reserves because stuff costs money, and furniture inflation hit 26% in 2023.
I believe that. And that's what I want. I mean, I have four active Airbnb midterms right now, and I have three construction workers and three of them right now, and they're going to move out end of January. And you know how construction workers kind of treat the rugs and everything. So all those rugs probably have to be thrown away.
Yep.
And I just need to refresh. I don't, some of these units probably could even share, you know, furnishings between units and
it's exactly what I do. I'll go into my fourplex and I'll like steal stuff from one and move it into the other. And then I need to buy all new stuff for the other one. And that means they all need to be re-photographed.
Yeah. And I think that's needed because it keeps it new and exciting. I just had a nurse that's, she was supposed to stay for 3 months. She stayed for a year.
Amazing.
She moved out day before Christmas.
And do you mind sharing the numbers on that? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah. So she was, I believe she was paying $1,200 a month. And we're in middle of Omaha here. And this five unit building, I think this building cost me with utilities right about $5,000.
Amazing.
So a five unit, and Rhea pays, I mean, $1,000 to stay here, and each unit makes $1,000 to $1,500. But that particular unit over there, I bought out a staging company. I don't even remember what the number was. It was really cheap. It was just a couple grand. Do you remember what it was?
No, I was trying to remember. It was very alarming how much you were able to get for what you spent on it.
One storage unit was so big you could fit a full size bus in it, and then it came with two other small storage units. And let's just say I paid $4,000 or $5,000. I don't even remember what it was.
Yeah, it's probably about
right. Wow.
And they forgot that it was a divorce, and they forgot there's a spouse's company. They forgot it was being auto withdrawn, and it literally sat in storage for 2 to 3 years. And I came in, swooped up. I said, hey, I'll buy everything.
Wow.
And
because you found a solution to that person's problem. Yeah. And that's how you got such a good deal.
And I gutted it all, threw it all in this basement and called it good. But my nurse just moved out, and I literally being cleaned before this podcast started. And I walked in there and I'm like, oh man, we have these two really nice chairs, but all the legs are like loose and half broken. And you know, at some point there was a pet in here and it needed, you know, but she was there for a year. She took care of me and she was super nice. So I'm not even going to charge her back.
Yep.
Because it was a win-win.
Sometimes you just do the right thing.
Yeah. And, yep. You know, there's some interesting stains and we'll take care of those. And then, but she left a ton of stuff in the kitchen.
They do. The nurses are the best tenants.
Kitchen's restocked.
I get like new plastic organizers, like great clothes racks, all sorts of really good stuff. I got a new vacuum. It was a Dyson.
She broke a lamp and replaced it, and the tag's sitting on it. It's got a red bulb in it, which is a little odd, but we'll take it.
Sure, it's not a black light to view the stains better.
I just literally told him, I was like, let's throw away all the pillows. I have new pillows in storage. And that's the thing about having storage. I literally just went downstairs, grabbed a whole bunch of stuff that was new sitting there, brought it up and refreshed. And I got it out of buying somebody else's Airbnb.
Smart.
So I had a client, I sold a property. They sold me everything in Airbnb for like $500 or $600, and they spent $20,000 on getting that thing set up.
Hey, I'm curious. So I like everything that you've talked about sounds like you probably have to turn business away with how popular it is. Is that true? Is there so much demand for it? Because like I totally would. I mean, if I knew, I kind of did what I kind of hired somebody to do what you're talking about, and I can. Like I could say that it was, I would never would have done.
Hello,
it otherwise.
Keep it in the family.
Why I didn't know at the time, but it sounds like it would be a very valuable service that you provide to people that don't have the time to do or the interest in doing that kind of thing, or maybe they're not good designers or don't know how to do a budget. Like all that stuff sounds awesome. I'm curious though, like on the business side, on your end, do you just do like cost plus, or how do you do that? Because you have flights that are coming in from different people. Is that how you approach it? Cost
yeah,
plus?
We do a fee. So our fee, I'll just tell you guys, it starts at, let's say you're doing a 2-bedroom and we're going to do what we call awesome from afar. So my designer and installer are actually not going to fly out there. You or someone that you hire are going to do the installation. Our fee starts at $3,500. And that does not include furniture. That's our fee. Mm-hmm. Then if you want us to fly out there, our fee for that same property starts at $6,000. And then we do the flights at cost. And why we do the flights at cost is sometimes people are calling us and saying, yeah, could you fly there like in 2 weeks? And we say, sure, but take a look at flight prices because, you know.
Can you use our credit card points?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll do your credit card. The only issue with credit card for furniture is that we get so many fraud alerts with Walmart. But yes, as a credit card hacker, travel hacker, I always work with my clients to get them as many points as I can. And then what's really fun is that then we are flying out to the property. And by we, I don't mean me anymore. It's my designer.
The royal we.
It's my designer and an installer. And we actually have installers all over the country now. And so we are constantly almost like bidding out the job. Hey, do you want to go here? Do you want to do that? And so funny, I have another Omaha client thanks to the local Omaha RIA event that I spoke at a few weeks ago.
Who was it?
Her name is Marie.
Okay.
And I am doing that unit on my birthday weekend.
Whoa.
And so I will be furnishing it, doing labor on my birthday, because my business partner and designer and I are really good friends. So I was like, oh, fun. You'll be in town for my birthday. Less fun that we're furnishing a unit. So our task rabbit budget for that weekend is probably a little bit more, because I'd like to work a little bit less on my birthday.
Okay. So here's an example. I have a house that I'm probably about 120 to 130 in this rehab. It's a little bohemia themed.
Cool.
So that's the goal. And it's going to be a 4-bed, 2-bath home. And what if I have no problem doing any of the installations, taking care of it, but I want to hire you guys to source the materials and oversee it. So I know that I'm looking at a $3,500 minimum. And what am I looking for on top of that for the links and the and the
How big the is plan? The property?
It's about 1,800 square foot.
How many bedrooms?
4-bed, 2-bath.
For something like that, our fee would start about $4,000. Mm-hmm. Because you have some of the stuff, we could also work that in. Our fee stays the same because it's funny. When the clients have things that they want us to incorporate, it actually causes more work for us. Mm-hmm. We'd rather like have a clean slate.
I personally would say, I think would be best is saying, hey, here's my clean slate. Stage the whole place for me.
Perfect.
Give me all the links. And then the things that I have that can replace what you're suggesting, I'll just grab it on my storage.
Yeah. Or what's really nice and what sets us apart from interior designers is an interior designer is going to give you a customized design and send you a link and, you know, go to Pottery Barn and West Elm and buy all these things. And then you're probably going to look at price tags and go, no, I'm not buying that. And then you are spending all the time, even if it's just simply click link, add to cart, put in your credit card information. That takes so much time. And I know because my designer and my assistant went out of town on the same week. I told them they could never do that again. And I did all of the ordering. So again, my designer had everything laid out to me in this beautiful spreadsheet, even like a drop-down menu that said ordered, in transit, delivered. It was so easy. So I was sitting there, you know, adding to cart. I looked down and it took me 11 hours across like 2.5-3 days. And so when they came back, I was like, first of all, you can never go on vacation again. And second of all, like, am I a moron? Like, why did that take me so long? And they're like, that's how long it takes. And I was like, guys, if I had known that, I would be talking about this during our sales calls. And so we save you so much time in the actual purchasing, even though we've picked out the lamp, we've picked out this. The other thing that happens, especially when we're in a hurry, because again, we're investors first. We're not going to wait 7 weeks for a couch that's on back order. We're going to find you a different couch that can arrive quickly. And that I think is where our value add is because, or our value proposition, because we are always thinking investors. So if we can get you furnished faster, we will do it. And as far as turning clients away, it's the clients who are like, yeah, I closed on a property today. Can you furnish it? And I mean, we're booked. We're booked out for about 6 or 7 weeks. And so I would love to continue to have more business in 2024, especially fun places. Like, can you buy, instead of buying a, like a Branson, you know, boutique hotel, can you buy one in like Nicaragua?
I mean, I'll consider it.
Okay. Thank you. That's the kind of project.
That's on your goal list, isn't it? To get something that's a vacation spot.
In Mexico?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we've looked in Florida. Yeah, we've gone to Mexico and checked stuff out. I don't know, man. Mexico is so volatile. I would say I don't have enough knowledge about it to be comfortable.
Kim like buying Stevens. There. Probably you should. You talk to
yeah,
Kim
there's
Stevens
Belize. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's. Do you hear that Kim's opening up a whole entire real estate company in Belize? So she's going to have her branch of her business, and it's going to be her own real estate company there.
Yeah.
Just because she's like, nobody there is licensed. Yeah. No, To kind of wrap up the conversation about furnishing and it's Aria, right?
Yes.
And do you have a website?
Yes, it is under construction. So go to sarahdweaver.com and you'll find everything about Aria.
Okay, sarahdweaver.com. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay,
Dreamweaver.
D for danger.
Sorry about that. and I just think that it's a fantastic idea. Is it scalable? Like, is the bottleneck that you're having right now, is it something where you could just throw more people at it? And do you want to?
Yeah, that, I think it's the first question. Yes, we could absolutely grow, and it's very scalable. Our systems are super dialed in. And the question is, do we want to? My business partner and I are headed to a business trip in February in Antarctica. And that is top of our list for discussion question is, hey, what do we want with this company and how many investors do we want to serve and who do we want to serve? We definitely have a niche. So, for example, if you're doing a like 7-bedroom house in Phoenix, Arizona as a bachelorette pad, that's not for us. We're not going to be able to do like the fake greenery, neon signs, Instagrammable, not because our design isn't beautiful. As you've seen, it is beautiful, but we're really good for the investor that is wanting to do things on a budget. Budget doesn't mean bad. It's still beautifully decorated, but we're pretty price conscious. And also that's really easy for us to do from anywhere in the world. If we're coordinating with like a muralist, I just really would rather be in person for something like that.
Owen did a mural on one of his properties.
Yeah, I did. I love how it turned out, man. Well, you guys have both seen it.
You see it?
I haven't. I would love something like that.
Yeah, it's really cool. It was. I think I paid $7,000 for it. But it was. It's a big wall that it's on, and it has all like it's Omaha themed, but it's all like Warren Buffett's there, but he's kind of like gangster Warren Buffett. And then there's like all, you know, Henry Dorley Zoo and the College World Series, and it's all themed.
It's like a whole map of the downtown.
Yeah. Area. But it's like got a different little twist on it. So that's what I kind of was going for, is like Warren Buffett, the like back alley gangster kingpin.
It's so style. Cool. One of my best friends is a really talented designer. She's Cityscape Designs, and she does really cool city skylines where she picks out iconic buildings and kind of makes a new skyline so that it's like all in one photo. And which is great for a city like Omaha or Kansas City or St. Louis, where, you know, the arch isn't right next to the other, you know, monument. So she creates this. And then she got contacted by a commercial builder. And she has a mural in Kansas City on an entire building. And it just, it's really cool. You're like, wait, I've like gotten you drunk before. And now you have a mural on a building. And so it is really cool to like highlight local designers in our properties.
Yeah.
You paid $7,000 for that?
Uh-huh.
Holy moly, that's a lot of money.
Yep.
I mean, I knew you put some coin down, but I didn't know you dropped $7,000 on that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's we'll see if we can link to it in
sick.
The show notes.
It's sick.
It's very cool. I'm happy how it turned out.
Maybe just put the Airbnb link in there. So okay. If you want to see it.
Yeah, I can do that.
So Sarah, you were talking just now, and I'm going to change topics here, but I noticed on your hand, on your right hand, you have a scar. And
before, of course, you would notice her scars.
Before we started recording this podcast, we were getting into the conversation about how your life changed with the accident that you had recently. You want to talk about that and kind of tell our listeners more or less what happened and how your life was, how your life is different now?
Yeah, my life completely changed this
year. Your Chinese farm story.
Yes, my Chinese farm story. Is Uncle Owen nervous?
I'm sweating because it's like 1,000 degrees in here.
Yeah, menopause. I mean, you're at that age. It happens. It's all good.
Okay, polo zip, 3/4 zip that you have on.
I feel fine.
Old man sweater.
I feel fine. Thank you. There's a lot of sweaters
Aren't
going on.
Aren't you wearing
here.
The same thing?
I was hoping you wouldn't point that out. Mine's not polo, though. There.
I thought
it's actually Sarah.
It's actually Sewa.
Sewa?
Sewa Weaver.
That's how you said it last time.
That's what it is, Sewa.